It means big night.
Is it big night because of the Heat Lakers, or is it because Robbie's about to make 700 picks?
That's later, but yes, it's the war on South Beach.
The war on South Beach.
You hit the rock. Hey, you feel like you're gonna.
I wonder how many of the Lakers are dehydrated right now or awake.
Well, they're probably drinking a lot of water with an IV.
Well, they got a whole day.
Two straight nights of partying nonstop.
Well, they got a whole day. They ain't gonna go out tonight.
I believe in the South Beach theory. I do. I believe that teams do get South Beached. I don't know if this Laker team, certainly not LeBron.
They don't have enough young guys.
Yeah, LeBron's not going to get South Beach. LeBron is a professional. He knows. Not saying that he didn't go out and have a nice dinner somewhere. I have no idea what he did while he's been here. But LeBron is not the kind of guy that's going to – that's not him. Now, other guys on that team, the young guys, they may have enjoyed the fruits of South Florida and South Beach and being, you know, in South Beach, as we just talked about, you know, Miami Gardens and – and Hallandale and Aventura, you know, areas like that have nothing to do with South Beach. But yeah, the Lakers in town tonight for the
war on South Beach.
As Robbie has claimed it. It's official.
Oh, my kids are at home by themselves.
Wait, what do you mean? You say that as you're like, you're surprised you forgot you had kids and they were alone. Wait, what?
No. My wife, my sister-in-law is getting, she's becoming a citizen today.
Oh, that's so she's going through this. That is awesome. You've been to those ceremonies, right?
Yeah, that's my wife did it.
Yeah, my parents. That's a cool thing.
It's really cool, like man. You don't like you truly understand how appreciative people are to be out of their situation and be a part of this country when you go to one of those things and how happy, you know, people are, and even people that have been living here for a long time, just to say I am an American citizen, people are just ecstatic. Well, but so my wife went and stayed at her house, and my son and my daughter has to get dressed and go to school bus by herself with the aid of my 20-year-old son. So I just looked at my watch and I'm like, all right, time for things to start get moving in the house because I know he'll sleep till noon.
Oh, yeah. You
can't. And right.
That's what I've been doing all morning with my oldest daughter's at home now. And, you know, she thinks she knows it. Also, I text her like, hey, do this, do that. It's funny how you never stop being a parent.
You never. And me, I look at it and think like, who would I get up? When I was that age.
You know, it's funny, though. I will say this. I always sound like an old man when I talk about this, but I always tell my, and you know, you always say, well, when I was a kid, this is what I would do. And I know we all do. It doesn't matter what your age is, if you're 30, 40, 60, 80. There is something about, I had such a respect for my dad and my mom, too, but for my parents in general, that I wasn't a great kid at times. I would act up and be dumb, but for the most part, man, I listened to my parents.
Oh,
like when they told me something, I did. I don't know where that stopped. I don't know, maybe we just spoil our kids too much as we go along, and then you start losing that a bit. But, man.
Well, it's just, I don't necessarily, I think because we try so hard to provide for our kids the things we didn't have.
Of course. That's the goal, right, of every parent.
Until it becomes borderline spoiling them to the point where, again, they think they should get things, right, instead of earn them.
The other day, I took my daughter to a show on Hard Rock on Monday. I think I told you, what's the Hard Rock? And we were having dinner at the Cipresso there, a very nice Italian restaurant that they have at the new Hard Rock with the guitar stuff, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I sit there having dinner with her, and she, you know, she was being a good kid, but I was just telling her, I said, man, I said, my dad would work his ass all day long and work hard and do his thing and then come home, and if I was lucky, he'd bring me KFC in a bucket. And that was exciting. Right.
And that was exciting.
My dad sitting down for a long day of work. We had KFC. And I'm sitting here on a Monday night with Cipresso at the Hard Rock. We're about to watch a show. I said, you don't know how good you have it, man. You don't know how good you have it.
And then they get mad because, like, I'm supposed to get this.
Yeah, I'm a good kid, Daddy, which you are, honey. But you got to, you know. We spoil our kids. Robbie, let's get everybody ready for the hype that is the war on South Beach. Here are your headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
That's right. The war begins 7:00 at the American Airlines Arena Heat Lakers tonight. 6:00 JetBlue Vacations pregame gets started right here in the ticket with Zaslow and Tommy tie. It is the war on South Beach. Still no line yet officially for this game. Like, come on. I mean, there's been four NBA games that have lines posted. Let's have the Heat game posted. Come on. But
hopefully by your picks. Hopefully by your picks.
It happens every game.
You sound like you're
so
upset.
Frustrated.
Oh, man. He just sounds like he's pissed off that he needs to get his fix on and the guy's not available.
That's what it is.
I'm like banging on the door. Oh, open the door.
How'd you do last night with the game?
I was the only loser.
Yeah, Lero was the only one that thought Adam Gase would cover that 17-point spread. Which, by the way, the Jets lost to the Ravens 42-21 last night.
They got way too much talent to be that bad.
The Jets?
Yeah. They've struggled on defense because of the injuries. Mm-hmm. But offensively, a lot of weapons.
Lamar Jackson is just so special that it's hard to really notice anyone in that game other than Lamar Jackson because he's just so electric.
Their running game is phenomenal.
Yeah, I was a Sam Darnold guy coming out of you know, in the draft, right? In that draft, my favorite two players were actually, and I'm almost embarrassed to say this, Josh Rosen and Lamar Jackson. Because remember, that was the year the Giants
made.
I missed on one. I kind of missed on one there because I'm a Giants fan.
Did you?
We don't know what Rosen is yet.
Right.
But I remember thinking, like, God, I would love for the Giants to get Rosen or Lamar Jackson. But I knew that probably neither at two would go. They end up taking Saquon, whatever. Darnold was the other guy that I thought, well, if they take him, I wouldn't be mad. And then obviously, I wanted the Dolphins to take Lamar Jackson when they picked, and they ended up taking Minka, whatever. The rest is history. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line being, Darnold's a guy that I watch, and sometimes he does make a wow throw. And he made a couple last night. We're just like, man, he avoided the pressure, made a good throw. The consistency isn't there, but I still haven't given up. Because Jackson takes so much of the spotlight because he's just so phenomenal.
Right.
If you compare him to Darnold, there's no comparison right now.
When you see him throw the ball, though, he doesn't throw. He's pretty accurate, and he doesn't he's not bad.
No,
he's like real patient.
I think he can still be a good quarterback, right. A very good quarterback. Is he going to be, you know, a superstar? I'm not sure about that.
He doesn't have to throw for that many yards. I think he barely got over 200 last night.
Who are you talking about?
Lamar Jackson.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Sam Darnold.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, Lamar Jackson's Lamar Jackson. He's in another category right now. He does so much else. I'm talking about Sam Darnold. Like, I don't know. I think he could still be a good quarterback in the league. I see things from him that sometimes he makes a throw. I'm like, he is pretty good. Like, it's funny. The times we saw Josh Rosen, I don't know if we ever got wowed by Josh Rosen in the little bit of time. Granted, it's such a small sample size.
Here's the problem, though. And somebody made this point to me, and it makes a lot of sense. You ever notice the most successful quarterbacks are drafted like middle to end of the first round? Because they're on better teams.
Well, yeah.
And then the quarterbacks that are just drafted by. Now, you have your. Because I think Indianapolis had the situation kind of like San Antonio when they ended up
with Duncan.
Yeah. In most cases, when does that top couple of picks turn the team around right away? It's usually a long haul type of thing.
And also, you know, you look at Josh Allen, for instance. He's been very solid in Buffalo. He has his games where he looks terrible, but he's been very solid. He runs the ball well. He's got a really strong arm. But he plays on a team that runs the ball well and
right.
plays good defense.
Right, and that's what Baltimore is.
And exactly. So it hides him a bit. Now, Lamar's a little bit different.
He's a little bit different. He's unique. Right.
He's so unique in his ability to throw and run. It's just such a unique combo. Everybody had this thought that he couldn't throw, right? That's what people were saying. And you watch him. Of course he can throw. He's a phenomenal thrower. On top of the fact that he can run, he's just, I don't know. I want to get mad at people and be like, what were you watching in college that you didn't see this? But I guess he's so unique that I don't think we've seen it. Michael Vick is the comparison everyone
let's
uses.
Give him a lot of credit, though, because the things that they said he would struggle with in the NFL, he bust his ass to work on.
Yeah.
They said he had problems with his accuracy. He had problems throwing the ball. And they made a point last night of saying he came in last offseason after they lost a playoff game, and he worked his tail off.
Yeah.
So let's not forget to give the guy credit on working on the things that he was deficient at.
By the way,
which is a lot of times, you ask Michael Vick, Michael Vick was a tremendous athlete playing quarterback, and he never perfected or never worked on the skill of playing quarterback.
He just used his incredible athletic ability to get through with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, but it's funny because we hold Lamar almost to a different standard. How many – you look at Sam Darnold, you know, you look at the ups and downs of second. You look at Josh Rosen not even playing. Let's go to this year's class. You look at Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray. Kyler struggled the last few weeks after a solid start. Daniel Jones on a bad team has had his ups and downs.
Right.
Dwayne Haskins has looked terrible at times. And we almost like you give them a pass because they're more your classic quarterbacks, right?
Right.
But when you get a guy like Lamar Jackson who's so special.
Because he can buy time. He doesn't need everybody around him to perform at their best to have success.
Yeah.
You know what? It's pretty amazing when you think of all these quarterbacks that are playing on these bad teams. In most cases, they won't get the time to grow because we're going to just look at them and it's a bust.
Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen got all of a year, and then he gets here and he gets all of a couple games. You know, it's a tough start.
Now, I always wonder what role does he play in that? Because it's two teams now that have a guy that was drafted, 10th?
Yeah, 10th or so year and
that,
a half ago.
That have already, said, we've seen enough.
It's an odd situation to be in. I will say this, the final thought on Lamar, and we can talk more about him later, but the final thought on Lamar that always bothered me is that everyone was looking for a reason to tell you why Lamar isn't going to be good.
And looking for every reason it's why Kyler Murray was going to be great.
Yeah, and so there was something about Lamar that, for some reason, people didn't want to accept that you can have a quarterback with this incredible athletic ability that can actually throw the football, too, that isn't just a runner. It's almost like people wanted to see him fail. Like, well, how many other guys do you see that happen to?
Well, that playoff game didn't do him any favors. That game against the
Chargers, but what rookie quarterback thrown in a playoff game like that just has the game of your life? I remember Eli. We talked yesterday about Eli a bit. Like, you know, he's just been this consistent guy. He's never been a superstar, but he's had those superstar moments. I remember Eli's first playoff game against the Eagles. I think it was his second year in the league. You know, as a starter, he was terrible. He threw three interceptions. The Giants lost in the first round. And then a couple years later, he has one of the greatest Super Bowl runs ever. You know, I mean, you got to give a guy time and to learn from those mistakes. So it's just unique the way we've done it with him. Robbie, you got any other headlines to close? I apologize. We kind of sabotaged your headlines.
No, we got enough in there. Don't worry. But yeah, Joe Burrow, he swept all the offensive awards last night in the it wasn't the Heisman ceremony, but it's all the other awards at the Benarek, the Remington, and all that stuff. The Maxwell, all that was last night, and Joe Burrow won all the awards that he was.
He's going to be
for.
The first pick of the draft, isn't
right.
he?
Right. Let's not. Yeah, after he picks up the Heisman on Saturday. The other thing is, by the way, if you're in the golf, the U.S. is getting their ass kicked in the President's Cup.
But Tiger did well yesterday. I saw that.
Tiger is he is.
You said he's playing well.
He is amazing. Like, he's back to Tiger. He is back to Tiger.
He's back.
By the way, as we go to break, I heard this on the telecast last night. Did you see that Lamar Jackson is younger than Joe Burrow?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Because Joe Burrow is 5 years. Four or 5 years.
And he transferred.
Yeah, and he transferred.
So he's going to win the Heisman. Lamar's got his Heisman, plus about to get an MVP. Tells you how phenomenal of a player Lamar Jackson is at his age and the way he's developed so quickly. All right, we'll talk more Heat Lakers after this. I don't know how you do it. You find time to work out. Like, I have my gym regimen that I love to do in the morning after dropping the girls off at school. So when I fill in here, and it's not that often that I do, but when I fill in, my regimen gets thrown off.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to do planks and do something in between just do something to feel like I'm moving.
Here's what happens.
I just can't work out. Like, when I get out of here at 10, I'm a little tired, and I know I'm not going to have the energy to work out at noon then or at 1, and then I got to pick up the kids at school, and then the day starts. Forget it. I'm done.
Here's what happens. I have to out of necessity, right? It's not a, you know, a extra for life. it is a necessity. I have to do certain things, certain exercises for my back, certain exercises.
Well, that's for me. My back tightens up. That's what I call doing a plank or something that helps.
Dude, I have a whole routine I have to do every day.
Yeah.
Just to.
Or if not, it tightens up on you, locks
just to be able to function. Yeah. Well, no, I've gotten up mornings I can't feel my legs. Oof. Yeah. So I have to keep moving. I have to, you know, do some type of exercise to keep everything going on a daily basis. And I've gotten so used to it that it was hard when I started doing the morning show. It was hard for me to go home and then, you know, so I had to just change my schedule and do it. But
yeah. No, you get used to it and you put your it's part of your routine. It's like brushing your teeth. It's part of your routine. You got to do it.
And if I don't, like if I have stuff to do and I don't go to the gym that day, the next morning is so hard for me to just get out of bed that I know what that feels like. So I make time. I have to.
Yeah, I did something. I'm always easy to get. Oh yeah, I'll do that. Sure, it sounds like fun. You know, like doing like a fitness challenge or like run something. You know, whatever. So about a month and a half ago, a friend of mine at the gym says, "Hey, we're doing this charity thing on X date, whatever this date. It's a push-up challenge for an hour of doing push-ups, and we're raising money for Make-A-Wish South Florida. It's a great event." Count me in. He sends me an email. I sign up. It's tomorrow. And then I look at it, I'll go, oh, my God, I got to do push-ups for an hour. Now, it's as many push-ups as you can an hour. It's not like you have to sit there and do push-ups for an hour. But it's an hour window to do as many push-ups to raise money. So I'm like, I have a strategy, Leroy. I'm going to do 10 push-ups. And then wait till the minute's up. Like, do 10 push-ups and wait till the minute's up. And do 10 push-ups and wait till the minute's. Instead of pushing myself and doing a lot of push-ups in a hurry, you know?
So you're going to do, you have to do how many push-ups?
Many as you want. Just for, I pledged to them, I told them I would give a quarter a push-up. So I'm trying to raise a couple hundred, about 150, 200 bucks if I do 600-700 push-ups in an hour.
But whoa. Hold on. Let's back this boat up. You think that you are going to be able to do 600 or 700 push-ups in an hour?
Well, I did 30 minutes the other day, and I did about 300. But
300 push-ups?
Yeah, in 30 minutes.
In 30 minutes?
Like, here's the thing. You're thinking of it as like, man, it's not doing 300 push-ups in a row, obviously. So you have to space it. Like, you have a minute window, right? So, or you know, I give myself a minute, do 10 push-ups. You can do 10 push-ups in, what, 10, 15 seconds at most? You know, just knock them out. 10. Then you sit up and you rest, and you get to the next minute, and you wait. When you get to the next minute, you stretch out, and then you do 10 more. And I try to do it. Now, can I keep that up for an hour? We'll see. I did it for 30 minutes. I don't think I could keep it up for an hour. I think I will end up, the pace will come. It's almost like running. If you run a mile, you know, you run 3 miles in 30 minutes, right? 10 minute mile. Chances are, if you're not a runner, the next 3 miles, it's going to take you 11 minutes a mile.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's 12 minutes
a
mile.
Right.
So my goal is 600. I don't think I'll get there, but let me rephrase that. I'm going to get there. I'm not going to be negative. I'm going to get there.
You're going to do 600 push-ups in an hour.
That's my goal. And I don't know if I'll do it.
What's the...
Raising money for Make-A-Wish.
Hey.
Make-A-Wish South Florida.
You want to get in on this action, Robbie?
I always am.
How much are you donating?
Put that in your Friday.
How much are you donating?
I'm just a quarter of a push-up. Because I figured, because they're everybody's giving like 150 bucks. So all right. That'd be 150 bucks. Right?
I'll do a quarter.
Six, right?
And I'll do an extra 50 if you get to 600.
Okay, I appreciate that, Leroy.
600, yeah. Wow.
No, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, he said 600 push-ups in an hour.
Well, that's what I'm trying to. That's my goal. That I would get.
Who's counting these?
Anyways,
I'm looking at these little skinny ass arms, thinking 600 push-ups coming out of that.
Because
Come on.
But I'm skinny, so I could do them quickly. You know, I could go. It's not that hard for me to do.
You
push-ups.
Need. Look, I don't. You still
but
need
I will
muscles.
Tire. I will tire. No, listen. The other day after the 30 minutes.
Hey, make sure you don't put no hair gel in.
I know.
Or you make sure you make yourself real aerodynamic. Hey, put something to make those eyebrows lay down.
The last half hour is going to be those push-ups where you see people at the gym where they do like a little. They're almost like they're twerking. It's not really pushing up. They're just like twerking. It's like that's a push-up. Hey.
Yeah. That, all right. I'm in. Just let me know.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. No. Come on. Like,
no. But there are guys at the gym. The people who organize it. They're last year, I heard a couple of guys did like 1,000 push-ups in an hour.
I bet you didn't have arms.
But
like
those
that.
Guys are trainers.
Are you gonna cut all your body hair off so you're aerodynamic?
I know. I got too much damn hair. I'm not like
you got
Robbie.
A sweater.
Yeah. I gotta do.
No. Robbie's got science. More hair than you.
Does he really?
Except on his back.
Yeah.
Dude, look. Is it? The hair from his forehead almost touches his eyebrows.
No, it does. It does. But Robbie, be proud of that. When you comb it down like that, absolutely.
Comb? He doesn't comb his hair.
When's the last time you combed your hair?
The last time we got a haircut?
You brushed your hair. You're getting a brush. What's the last time you put gel or goop, pomade, anything in your hair? If you're going to the war on South Beach tonight, we're going to Club Hyde, you got to put some pomade in there.
Yeah.
Pomade?
I'm sure pomade. Everyone said that before they went to war. I got to put some pomade on.
Listen, bro, the war sounded like the guy, the coach from the Browns.
The war we're going on is a little different. In Club Hyde, it's a different war that goes on in there.
You need
the pomade. You need the nice shirt. You need a little vice shirt. I'm actually going to go get myself a vice shirt for tonight. I want to go in a nice little, the theme.
And I could sense this in you, that you've been around football and sports and covered it so much that you really enjoy going as a fan. Some of the most fun I've had is getting season tickets to the Canes with my son.
Yeah,
because I never got to experience. So I would go tailgate every week, and I was having, fun.
I told you, that's why I like going to Giants. Like, I try to get a Giants game I go to, and I didn't this year.
Right.
But, like, tonight, I'm taking my cousin, it's his birthday yesterday, but we're going to celebrate it tonight. I never get to see him. He's my older cousin, but I love him, and he's a guy that I looked up to as a kid. We don't hang out as much. His wife's coming. We're going to go, and, it's like to have a beer and sit there and not worry. Like, like when I go visit friends when I'm working, I'll go sit with them for 5 minutes. Hey, I got to go. I got to do a hit in 10 minutes. I got to go.
Right.
I can't sit there and have a beer and nachos.
Right.
To do that, to go down to Club Hyde at halftime and hang out after the game, take a couple pictures, then, go down to Wynwood, have a drink after. To be able to have a little fun, it's nice to be a fan.
Wait, how about this? Will, I'm doing the same Make-A-Wish Push-Up Foundation. I did 793 last year.
Good for you, man. That's awesome.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty awesome. But the key, I'm sure, for him, too, is you got to – so the other day, my mistake was? I get down to the gym at my apartment,
right,
and I did 30 in a hurry. I did 30 at a normal pace. I don't mean a hurry. I did 30. I said, okay, I did 30. I'm looking good, feeling good. Did 10 more. And then when I got to, 100 in the first, 5, 6, 7 minutes, I thought – holy hell, I'm toast. I'm done. And I still got 23 minutes to go because I was doing it for a half hour. And so I ended up doing about as much in the next, 23 minutes that I did in the first 7 minutes, because your body can only take so much.
Right.
So my pace is, I'm going to do 10. That's my goal. 10 a minute rest, stretch, 10.
10
rest,
a minute stretch. For 60 minutes, that's 100.
Right. That's 600. That's my goal.
Right.
But I figured if you give yourself that 35 to 40 second window to kind of, breathe and stretch a little before the next 10,
man,
you could be able to do
it. Your body's still going to get tired.
I mean, it's still, you're right. In the end, it's still that amount of push-ups. It's not like you're cheating.
And how often do you do push-ups?
I do a lot of push-ups because I'm not a big weight trainer. Last year I had hernia surgery, so I'm not a big heavy weight guy, so I try to do push-ups and pull-ups. Right.
I don't do weights at all. I do everything in the pool.
Yeah.
Because you can, as you get older, you can build muscle, but you can't build ligaments or tendons.
That's true.
So you put more stress on your tendons.
I'm going to increase my reputation with you, or at least what you think is my reputation with you, given on our conversation yesterday, to know this, that I am the guy at the gym who's on those classes that you think are just for girls. Like, I'm the guy that's in the Pilates class. I'm in the guy that's in, we have, this class. It's called the club class, where you take a club, and you're kind of, doing all these different things. And, I'm in the jazzercise kind of class. I'm the guy in that class. I do take those classes.
We can't make eye contact. What are you doing?
I'm the guy in those
classes.
What are
you doing?
Oh, I do the little boot camp classes, those little things where everybody butt kicks. All right, let's go. High knees, jumping jacks, hold the plank.
You're probably wearing tights.
If it's cold. We do some outdoor stuff.
I can say with you. Say, hey, Leroy, you want to go to the gym with? No. Yeah, no.
I'll get you with some leg warmers. And come on, man. We do a little jazzercise class, looking out there like Jane Fonda in the 80s.
Somebody said, remember when Herschel Walker said you do 1,000 push-ups and pull-ups daily?
Man, and I believe that he did. I mean, if you ever saw his body, man, he's a freak of nature.
Yeah, he didn't do weights.
He didn't do weights. Yeah, that's what he said. Why would we believe him? I mean, he was in phenomenal shape. I could see him doing 1,000. Can you imagine doing 1,000 push-ups a day?
Mm.
I mean, but then again, he was a freak of nature.
I bet Herschel Walker has that ladder thing where you do that pull-up and you have to lift the bar up to the next level and then to the next level. I forget what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
The
ladder. Yeah, people do that in CrossFit and then competitions stuff like
the salmon ladder.
Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called, salmon ladder.
I tried. So I did a Tough Mudder type Spartan race a couple times. But so I went to one of those gyms that has those things, and I thought, I'm a pretty fit guy. I could do this. I almost killed myself trying to get from the little the little bar to like then lift the bar up and go like that. You ever watch those American Ninja Warrior things? Those things are like, oh, that could do that. That's easy, man. If I tried to do that, I would face plant within 5 seconds.
Dude, I like when them got like when you see them holding on to the ball and scoot. I'm
the
like,
amount
oh,
of core strength that
yes.
takes aside
oh,
from body,
oh,
but the
yes.
core strength that takes. Yeah, I'm good. All right, well, what do we got in this? Don't we have something coming up in the 740 range?
That got postponed. That got postponed. Rain delay.
Robbie, does anything go to plan around here? Does anything go to plan? Robbie sends me a detailed list. He knows that I'm not. This is not what I do for a living. You know, this filling in for Toba. That you send me a detailed list.
I did put parentheses in that list.
As in to be determined,
yes,
or
it was 50-50.
If possible.
It is possible. That event was questionable, and we ruled it out. It didn't pass concussion protocol.
Luckily, we'll talk Heat Lakers. We got Robbie's picks coming up in the next hour. We got Ira as well, 15 minutes of Heat in the next hour as well. We got all kinds of good stuff going on until 10 a.m.
Join Hawk and Crowder for a live broadcast from the 8th Annual Channing Crowder Toy Drive at the Lester H. White Boys and Girls Club in Fort Lauderdale on Thursday, December 19th, beginning at 2 p.m. Stop by and donate new unwrapped toys, games, and gift cards for boys and girls between the ages of 6 and 18. Donations are also being accepted at the club during normal business hours, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m., and Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Let me say this clearer. The Lester H. White Boys and Girls Club.
I opened the door. I went to go get something. I opened the door, and the second I opened the door, all I heard was Leroy said, the White Boys and Girls Club. And
it's
I'm like,
Lester H. White Boys and Girls Club.
It's an extra pause.
Yes. Yes. I mean, this like, look, when I read
raising
it,
and pausing
I
is
always,
important.
I hose right through it, and I go, and I'm like, oh, I forgot. Robbie, let's give away some tickets to Santa's Enchanted
yeah.
Forest.
Two four-packs.
We can give away one or two.
No, we'll give away both.
We give away 2 4-packs to Santa's Enchanted Forest. How about caller number 6? And caller number 8, because the heater 16 and 18,
18 and 6,
that's a good 6 and 8. Caller number 6, caller number 8 to what? What's the
786-360-0790. 4-pack, Santa's Enchanted Forest. Caller 6 and 8.
There we go.
I like the way you're thinking.
I thought 6 and 8 was the year where you were born. I thought that's what you were going for.
That. Oh, that too.
Is that the year you were born?
Yeah.
Wow. Robbie, did you know that, or were you just guessing?
I was ballpark around there. I had a look feeling it was right around there.
Look at that. Very good.
You know who I went to high school with? Stanley Verrett.
Oh, from the Sports Center.
Yeah. And
good
guess job. Who
Very
else
good
was at my high school? Keep in mind, from 8th to 12th grade, I only had 550 kids. And I went to school with Avery Johnson.
Avery was a... Or is but it was a unique guy as far
he
as a
tiny
player.
Like a child.
Like saying, to have such a small guy, have
he
such
played
a
on a he played on a basketball team that went 35-0. And if I said to you, who do you think is going to be a professional player of this group?
He would have been the last one you thought.
Last one,
yeah,
absolutely.
It's funny how that works that way.
And now he's still coach of Alabama.
I believe so. Last I saw,
there's certain schools, and here's what bothers me about coaching. And I will say this about just. Especially universities, right? You have to understand where you are in the college scheme of things. So you think you can go fire your coach. You know, schools like Vanderbilt and schools, you know what I mean? Alabama understands where they are as far as basketball is concerned, right? You can't just keep firing coaches and getting new coaches and whatever. He's done a really good job at Alabama, but if they're going to say, well, he can't win the SEC or he can't do this, pipe down.
You got to have certain standards in
right.
certain programs. I
right.
mean, you know,
but,
not that you want to have a losing standard, but
yeah,
I mean,
but come on. But yeah. understand where yeah. you know, you are. When I see like the Temple coach getting fired, or I'm like, whoa. Or the Rutgers coach got fired.
We have the Temple coach in Miami.
Multiple times.
Yeah, we've had
it's the go-to.
This is the pipeline yeah. of Temple is South
well,
Florida.
I tell you what, when I was growing up, you know what school was the stepping stone, like the beginner to get your break in college football was Tulane.
Mac Brown.
Mac Brown. Mac Brown recruited me to go to Tulane.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, man. Well, tonight we got Heat. We got Lakers. We've got the biggest game, I think, of the season so far for Miami.
It's the biggest game in a while.
Yeah.
Would you say, like, I mean, besides the games with, like, the normal games, like when you play
like
Boston.
Last year against Golden State when Dwayne Wade hit that buzzer beater.
Well, and that's the thing. But when the other team was the story, it, you know, when like you said, Golden State, when the best players in the league are coming to you, but now you actually are a team that is technically one of the best teams in the league. Now, whether
you're amongst the elite.
That,
this is a two elite teams playing each other on primetime. It's been a while since this has happened down here.
I mean, even yesterday caught my attention at work watching ESPN. I was watching like The Jump and those shows they have midday in the later afternoon. And all the promos on ESPN were like, you know, East versus West showdown. And I look up, I'm like, what are they talking about? I'm like, the Lakers, the Heat. And I'm like, wow. It's true.
When's the last time you had a game like this?
Yeah, it's not just selling you on Dwayne's last dance or, hey, it's the Heat against one of the power teams. It's a power team against a power team. When you look at the elites of the NBA, the Heat, unless something happened overnight, they still have, what, the third best record in the league? Mm-hmm. They were right. It was the Lakers, Milwaukee, and the Heat. And I know there are some people that don't buy that. And I think that's the storyline nationally tonight watching. Remember, the game isn't on Fox Sports Sun tonight locally. It is an ESPN national. Everyone that has ESPN on their televisions in this country can watch that game at 7 p.m.
Did they quit? Like, remember, they used to have both broadcasts, they don't do it anymore?
Well, there are some exclusive windows. During the Friday package, when they take that, is an exclusive window. There are times during the week, and then there's the TNT package that's also exclusive. But there are times where an ESPN and Fox can be on the same day,
like a
Wednesday game. Yeah.
Okay.
But tonight, this is ESPN's featured 7 p.m. game, and I think their game after is the T-Wolves and Clippers.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Utah and Golden State, but then they had to, obviously, Golden State.
Golden State is going to be flexed out of a bunch
a
of
lot
situations.
Of games. Yeah, that's a tough one.
They're
unwatchable.
This is worse than the 07 team.
What's crazy, though, they're gonna get James Wiseman in the draft, and they're gonna get Steph back and Clay back, and they're going to be elite again next year. Just the way it's going to work.
Yep.
Isn't it funny how it happens?
I don't know. They're going to draft James Wiseman. I don't know if he fits the Warriors.
I think he will fit just fine. I mean, they got all the shoes and stuff. I think, they're going to be good next year.
And there's all sorts of randomness with the ping pong balls now. Like, you can't.
That's true. You can't. Look at the Knicks. The Knicks thought they have. Then again, I do think RJ Barrett's very good. But, you know, over the course of the years, they've missed out.
Well, he's going to get nixed.
Did you see that Ja Morant dunk the other day?
Oh, yes. I was distracted by the TVs yesterday during the show watching that.
Oh, my God. Leroy, if you haven't seen it, I'll show it to you during the break. He just destroyed a big man. Who was it, by the way, that he destroyed? I don't know. It was like a 7-footer. Just a massive one of those, like, he saw him in front of him and said, oh, man, I'm going to take him. Went right at him and threw it down right in his face. That kid is special. But so tonight we got this special matchup, and I think
Aaron Baines is who
Aaron
destroyed.
Baines, yeah, who's, you know, I mean, 7-footer.
Is that the same Baines that played for
Boston,
Celtics?
Boston, yeah,
correct.
Same one.
Yeah. Tonight you got the match with the Lakers. Look, the storyline, I think, for a lot of people that are waking up this morning, getting to work and looking at their social media or reading or checking their phones or listening to us, is that Deion Waiters has been suspended now for the next 6 games. Again, the breaking of team rules, violation of team rules, insubordination, the team says. They don't give specifics as to what the incident or incidents were, but the point being, I don't think Deion's going to play in a Heat uniform again, Leroy. In the beginning of the year,
they're certainly making it more difficult.
I wonder, you know, there's some people that think, well, the Heat are just looking for ways to not play him. Trust me, you can't just suspend the player because you don't want to play him. There are things going on behind the scenes where Deion just,
about,
the incident on the plane, obviously a lot was made of that and what really happened there. I think we can kind of see what did happen, given on the reports and what ended up, you know, being the aftermath of it, of a 10-game suspension. But early in the season, a lot of it had to do with the pouting and the anger and, quite frankly, the talk back and insubordination to his coaching staff and Eric Spoelstra because Deion wasn't starting, because Deion didn't get that role. Deion really felt, to his credit, he worked hard this offseason. Deion looked good. I saw Deion a month before training camp, and he was in good shape. He was in a good place mentally. He was ready for the season, and I think the Heat were ready to have him ready for the season. But he was ready to be 15-20 shot start Deion.
Philly cheese.
That Deion. the Heat were ready to have him be sixth man type, you know, get Goran. Your role, Goran.
They wanted to basically...
They wanted 7-11 off the bench. Right. They wanted 7-11 off the bench, and that was the second unit, because at the time, you didn't know what you had in Tyler Hero if he was going to be consistent off the bench. You didn't know how good Kendrick Nunn was going to be as the starter. So that 7-11 combo was something that was really important to the Heat coming off the bench in this season, and Deion just didn't buy in. And I don't think he'll ever buy in. I don't think it's
Well, at this point, no.
It's not going to happen.
No.
Not going to happen. You ever have a teammate that this just went on and on and on and on and on until it finally was a breakup? Like, where just there kept being incident after incident. Do you recall anything like that?
No, but in football, it's a little bit different. So, for example, and I said this about Jarvis when he got to Cleveland. When we had just gone to the second round of the playoffs in Cleveland, and they went out and signed Andre Rison. Andre Rison was fine, okay?
Yeah.
But
he came with a little reputation, though. There's no doubt.
Every day, he would have to answer questions as to why he didn't have 100 catches like he did in Atlanta. And it was hard for people to understand that this is not Atlanta. 100 catches in this offense might only be 65, 70 catches. And it wore on him to the point where he got kind of this attitude and wore on the team. And so, did everybody like Andre Rison? Yeah, cool dude. But the frustrations that he had were misplaced because everybody that he played with thought he was doing a good job. And I think it's something about Deion that views him coming off the bench as a demotion. Mm-hmm. And the work that he put in, you know, nothing's ever promised to you. So even if you put the work in, it doesn't mean you're going to get what you expect to get.
Or want to get.
And I think that's where these two sides have, you know, because keep in mind, the whole time while he's doing his thing and while he feels he's doing everything that he needs to do to get his role back, Kendrick Nunn comes along. Tyler Hero comes along.
You know who else?
Duncan Robinson
starts. You know who
else
came along that I think has been actually, I don't want to say bad because that sounds like it's negative, but has been actually is made Deion look worse in with that Philly cheese and that attitude that he has of confidence, like Spo said, mm-hmm. irrational confidence. But it's Jimmy Butler, because Jimmy is the kind of guy that has the attitude of like, hey, I want to be a leader. I want to be the guy. But he puts in the work. He's the guy
right.
who's up at 3 o'clock. He's
right.
the guy who doesn't mind,
right. of course, being
the you know
yep.
the facilitator doing. And it's actually made Deion worse because now with a leader like that being, you know how they always talk about your weakest link and the strong chain. Jimmy Butler is that glue, that chain, that strong link of the team, right? And everybody has kind of followed that attitude. And when you're Deion and you want to beat to your own drum, to that tune that Deion's had for years, that he's had success with, by the way. He's last in the league this long. He's had some productive seasons. But on this team, if you're not with them and in that Jimmy Butler Bam mode, look, the one thing you give Tyler, and when they talk about Tyler and Kendrick and Duncan and all these young players are developing. They bought in,
right.
and they work hard, and they're up early, and they leave till they stay till late, and they're putting in the work in the gym, and they're learning, and they're listening. Every player on the team has to have that role, and when you're the one guy who doesn't,
It stands out
so much.
And now because you have a lot of young talent, you almost have to defend that kind of mantra going throughout your organization. Mm-hmm. So whereas. You know, same thing with Hassan. You know, we laugh and we say, oh, that's just Hassan. Well, eventually, you got to move on to that because it's not winning basketball games. And I think, you know, that's kind of.
By the way, you just said winning basketball games. That's another thing. I mean, the Heat are winning without him. What's worse as an athlete when you think you are needed and that you are vital and that the team shows that you're not needed and you're not vital?
Well, you know, Team Petty, which is Tobin. Right?
Yeah.
He will say, oh, you know he's rooting for the team to lose.
I don't buy that.
Right.
I don't buy that.
Right.
Deion, look.
I don't know. Deion?
No. Deion's not a bad guy. He is, and I will say this, I can't speak for every player on the team, But I, in conversations with them over the course of the last couple of years and then seeing the way they are with Deion behind the scenes, guys like Deion. Spo loves Deion. Spo knows that Deion's got that personality that's unique. That you don't want every guy to be like Deion.
Right.
But a Deion on your team isn't a bad thing when he buys in and when he puts in the work, as we show, as he's shown. But when he doesn't buy in and doesn't put in the work or has that attitude, he's the last guy you want around a team that's having success. And right now the Heat are having lots of success.